The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
It is 9:02 on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. It's the first Thursday of the month. That means it's time for Spotlight on Medicine. Topic this morning, IVF therapy. My guest is Dr. Deepika Garg, repro endocrinology and infertility, gynecology obstetrics at Yale Medicine, Greenwich Fertility. And Dr. Garg went to Lala Lajpat Rai Memorial Medical College, served her internship at Maimonides Medical Center, fellowship University of Utah College of Medicine, and she is based at 55 Holly Hill Lane in Greenwich at Yale Medicine, Greenwich Fertility. Good morning, Dr. Gargan. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you to have me on the show today.
All right. Our topic is IVF. What is IVF? We know what it stands for, I think, but you can mention that, but also what is it?
Well, IVF, as you know, it's in vitro fertilization. It's the most common fertility treatment, and this is the treatment where the eggs are taken out from the ovaries and fertilized outside the body in IVF lab, and embryos are formed, and then basically embryo is transferred inside back of the uterus, and this is the most common and most successful fertility treatment.
Okay, who is eligible? Who's a good candidate for IVF?
Well, it can be used in for various reasons in patients. So patients who are suffering from unexplained infertility, if they have a male factor infertility problem with their sperm quality or quantity, or if there is any problem with their fallopian tubes, such as they are tied, blocked, or cut. Even in patients who have problems with their eggs, such as low ovarian reserve, polycystic ovarian syndrome, or patients who are advanced maternal age, have endometriosis. It can be also used in patients who want to do egg freezing, embryo freezing, or if they have problem with their uterus, have uterine factor infertility, and interested in using gestational surrogate. This process can be very successful in all these patients.
I think we've talked about with other doctors the egg freezing, I guess, if somebody wants to have a child or baby later on in life and they get their eggs when they're younger, is that kind of one way of doing it?
Exactly, yeah. So egg freezing, it's more than a decade we have started doing it, and basically patients, when they are younger, we get their eggs out by ovarian stimulation, and we can freeze these eggs for as long as they want, and they can use these eggs in future by fertilizing partner sperm or donor sperm, and they can get pregnant at any age.
Mm-hmm. How often do you do these kinds of procedures, and what are kind of the ages of the women involved?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because we do this all day. That's my specialty, and IVF and egg freezing, it requires, you know, ovarian stimulation and everything. So we do these procedure almost every day in IVF OR. And in terms of ages, I see patients starting from 20 years of age up to, I would say, 50 years of age, and based on their necessity, either they want to preserve their fertility, or they are interested in family building, or if they are not able to get pregnant, and I see all sort of those patients.
So you still have eggs at age 50?
Well, this is, you know, with advancement in technology, we are able to make those people pregnant, not necessarily with their own eggs, but there is an option of using donor eggs. If they have a partner, they can use partner sperm, or, you know, with the these days, because of the career focus, people, you know, want to have kids later in their life, and there are various ways we can help them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how long should people wait before consulting a fertility doctor?
Well, technically, based on the definition of infertility, if a female is under 35 years of age and they have been trying for 1 year, not successful, they should consult a fertility doctor. But if a female is over 35 years of age and they have been not successful for 6 months, they should consult a fertility doctor.
Okay. Do donors get paid for doing this?
You mean donor egg and donor sperm? Well, yeah, this is part of the process, but there are various reasons they do the donor in terms of donor egg. Some people, they don't want to have kids themselves, but they want to help people who are in the stage where they want to have kids but don't have good eggs or enough eggs. And so there are various reasons people do this.
Yeah, because you hear about sperm donors and kids all over the place, right?
Yeah, but there are, you know, FDA regulations, how many times they can donate, how many kids they can have. But yeah, you're right. There is like, yeah, people are all over the place, but there are strict FDA regulations. How many times can they donate? What testing they need? How many kids they can have with their donation and stuff?
Okay, so high regulated. It's not kind of Wild West out there then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, great. We're going to take a break, and we are talking in vitro fertilization therapy with Dr. Deepika Garg Yale Medicine at Greenwich Fertility, 55 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 270, where our office is located here in Greenwich. This is Spotlight of Medicine here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. We'll take a break, come back with more after this.
Want an easy way to find a great doctor? Got a health issue you'd like to research? Looking for ways to be healthier and better informed about personal wellness? You'll find all this and more at the Greenwich Hospital website, www.greenhosp.org. This richly detailed website is loaded with valuable information. You'll find everything from directions and visiting hours to details about all the medical services and staff physicians, including doctors' credentials and office locations. You'll also find listings of community healthcare events, support groups, and much, much more. Whether you're planning a hospital visit or just want to be a more informed healthcare consumer, the place to start is Greenwich Hospital's website. Find it at www.greenhosp.org. That's www.greenhosp.org. Check it out today and get wise about health.
.909 here on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. This is Spotlight on Medicine. Folks from Greenwich Hospital, first Thursday of each month. And we're talking IVF therapy with Dr. Deepika Garg. And we've talked about what exactly is in vitro fertilization. Good candidate. How successful is it, Dr. Garg?
Well, the success of IVF depends on multiple factors. It depends on the age of couple, fertility history, and the reason for infertility. But overall, the success of IVF is measured in terms of live birth rate. And if we have a genetically normal, healthy embryo, the success rates could be 60 to 70%.
Okay. And are there cases of, deformed babies or problems with the, you know, special needs children, that kind of thing? Or is that just kind of the normal odds that happen? Anybody getting pregnant?
Well, I mean, with IVF, and we do IVF, we have the option of doing pre-implantation genetic screening on the embryos. We can take a couple of cells and then send for genetic testing to see if these embryos that we are going to use, they are chromosomally normal or not. So chances of having any sort of chromosomal anomalies such as Down syndrome or different types of syndromes decreases with IVF and decreases the risk of miscarriage rates, because those of the embryos most likely tend to miscarry because if they are not normal. But in terms of learning disabilities, we are still learning how these are basically inherited and what can cause these. So we don't know the exact reason, and we don't have any means to test our embryos for those sort of anomalies right now.
Mm-hmm. I want to back up just a second. You said, how successful is it? What defines success? Is it just as simple as the woman gets pregnant?
Clinical birth rate, live birth rate. Mm-hmm. Talking about like delivering, taking home a healthy baby after IVF, which is 60 to 70%.
Okay. All right. How long does IVF take?
Well, it takes overall process, start from initial consultation till someone gets pregnant, around 6 to 8 weeks, because it's like the process starts with initial consultation, then patients start fertility medication for ovarian stimulation that lasts around 8 to 14 days, and then egg harvesting called egg retrieval, and then we make embryos in IVF lab, and if patient wants to do pre-implantation genetic testing, then we basically screen these embryos and do biopsy. It takes couple of weeks to come back, and then embryo transfer, and then pregnancy test.
You know, you mentioned genetic. I mean, there are genetic diseases that can get passed down. Is that another reason for IVF?
Absolutely, yeah. I have patients who come to me. They already know they have some family diseases that they don't want to pass on to their kids. And there are means we can test embryos specifically for that specific disease. So we basically track down the gene in the family and make a probe and specifically test that disease, and we can find out embryo which are not affected. And once we use those, then basically their kids don't have the disease.
So you can take eggs that and separate them out, the good ones from the bad ones, so to speak?
Well, you know, egg, we can separate it out based on how they look like under high-power microscope, mature, immature, but we don't have means to see if egg is chromosomally normal or not. And that's a very interesting question. Patients don't know. With age, the number of eggs decrease, but the quality of eggs also decrease. So if someone is over around 40 year old, around 70% eggs are chromosomally abnormal. But to answer your question, we have no means to know just looking at the egg if it's chromosomally abnormal or normal, unless until we fertilize that egg with the sperm, create embryos, and do biopsy of embryo, then we will know if embryo is chromosomally normal or abnormal.
Now, you say chromosomally normal. Do you mean a genetic disease part of that, or is that something separate?
Well, chromosomally normal means you and me supposed to have 46 chromosomes, right? So if we test the embryo and we see chromosome has 46 chromosomes, means that's a chromosomally normal embryo. Otherwise, like diseases such as Down syndrome have extra 21 chromosomes, so we can sort that out based on the biopsy on the embryo.
All right, so a lot of work goes into this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you kind of touched on this a little bit, but there are any restrictions while undergoing IVF? Maybe we're talking more of physical restrictions rather than moral or legal restrictions, right, for this question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, when someone is going through IVF, they are not supposed to involve in high-intensity, high-impact activities. They are allowed to do mild to moderate activities such as walking, yoga, meditation, those sort of stuff. And they should, you know, eat healthy, balanced diet. They should avoid smoking or drinking alcohol, and, you know, stay positive as much as they can. And that's all increases the success of IVF.
That pretty much applies to anyone who's pregnant, right?
Exactly.
Just kind of follow the correct protocols. No drinking and that kind of stuff. Smoking, you don't want to do that. I mean, it's no different from that standpoint.
Then. Exactly, right. Yeah.
Okay. Will IVF, here's an interesting question, will this significantly increase the chances of having twins or triplets?
Well, not necessarily now, because in the previous times when our technology was not that advanced, we didn't have the ability to test these embryos or grow these embryos up to certain days. We used to transfer more than one embryo back to increase the success of IVF. And that at that time, there used to be a lot of twins and triplets, but now we select a healthy genetically normal embryo, and if we transfer that embryo, there is a little bit higher chance of splitting that embryo and making twins, but it's not very high.
Is there a chance for somebody that says, I want twins or triplets, to do that?
Well, I mean, there are strict guidelines from American Society of Reproductive Medicine. Most of the centers across our country, they transfer only single embryo. And it's for benefit for maternal health, because twin and triplet pregnancies are very high risk in terms of preterm deliveries, low birth weights, and their kids might have problems like intracerebral hemorrhages and a lot of problems with their intestine and stuff. And nobody wants to do that. So we avoid having those situations these days.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved in this field?
I would say it's been like 8 years now.
8 years. Have you seen changes in terms of restrictions or, you know, you mentioned oversight and things like that as we've learned more about it? I'm sure at the beginning of this, it was wondering, is this genetic engineering? Were you trying to create these, you know, kinds of, you know, superior races types of things? That could, you know, give us kind of a feel as to that kind of thing that you've seen over the last 8 years in terms of kind of restrictions and protocols and oversight and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can talk on this for a whole day.
Yeah, but go for it then. We have time.
Well, the top thing that comes to my mind, I still remember when I was doing my fellowship training in reproductive endocrinology and infertility, to do egg freezing, we still have to put IR ARB protocols because it was not available more readily and it was not as successful as it is now. And right now, I think this is one thing I want to educate all women out there. If you are not ready to have kids and you are around 35 years of age, definitely talk to an infertility doctor about freezing eggs because the technology has advanced so much now that we don't need to put IRB protocol. Patient can walk into our office. Most of the insurances cover it. Even if they don't cover it, we have great, you know, self-pay package when we help patients. We have even like financing available for those patients. And it's kind of, at least if they are not ready to have kids, they can delay and use those eggs in future, as we discussed previously. In addition, there is a lot of changes in the media that we use to grow embryos. We used to have two-step media. Now we have one-step media. We have like a real-time imaging where we can see those embryos growing in IVF lab, which we didn't have before. So technology is advancing in terms of we can basically monitor these embryos growing in lab, how we can use better quality embryos, even genetic screening. It used to be PGS, now it's called PGTA, pre-implantation genetic testing for aneuploidy, where we can test for chromosomal anomalies. And now with AI coming up, you know, there's a lot of advancement in our fields, and I can't only wait to see where we're going to go.
I was going to say, so AI is really starting to have an impact on the field now. That's a big change I'm sure you've seen over the years.
Recently a lot of companies, especially for selecting the embryos and looking for like results in terms of biopsy results, a lot of people are applying the tool of AI and trying to see how we can improve patient outcome. And ultimate goal is patient success and, you know, basically provide what patient desire.
When a woman or people come to you for this, what are kind of the questions that they ask and what are the concerns that they have?
Well, it depends on multiple factors, but most of, first of all, I feel like people should not be scared to go and see a fertility doctor. It should be a very first thing to do if someone is in mind thinking of getting pregnant, not getting there, because that's what patients say, oh, I wish I would have come earlier, or they definitely want to do all the fertility testing and find out what's going on with them or their partner. Sometimes partner semen analysis abnormal and they just keep trying and they sometimes think there is something wrong with the female partner. So it's very important to have an open conversation, and they usually and in terms of fertility treatment, the truth is a lot of insurances are covering these treatments, especially testing. When patients talk to me, they are more concerned about how they're going to pay for the even testing, or if they have to go through IVF or do IUI, but they get surprised that insurance is covering so many cycles and they have this opportunity which they don't know exists. So we have a team of billing people and like people who look into patients' insurance, help them figure out their benefits and do prior auth and stuff. So I would encourage patients to seek help if they are thinking about getting pregnant and not getting anywhere.
So you talked about financing packages. If insurance doesn't cover it, or, I mean, interest rates might be coming down, so you might get a better deal, like on a car.
Absolutely,
like
yeah.
I have a friend whose daughter had a baby through in vitro fertilization. Can that be done again?
Absolutely. I mean, most likely when someone does in vitro fertilization, depending on their situation, the cause of infertility, we basically get more than one embryo based on the age of the patient, and we transfer back one and freeze rest of them. So if they want more babies, not necessarily they have to go through the entire process. They can just basically do embryo transfer, which take a couple of weeks, less involvement, less money, and you know those embryos are ready in the freezer.
And do they have to wait a certain amount of time after they give birth to do it again?
Well, so American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends waiting for 12 to 18 months for basically for mother to get recovered from the whole pregnancy, delivery, breastfeeding, and you know that infancy stage and everything, so they are ready for another one.
I mean, would that be the kind of guidance they would give to any woman having a baby?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That doesn't change from that standpoint.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another break, talking in vitro fertilization. Dr. Deepika Garg, Greenwich Fertility, Yale Medicine, Greenwich Fertility, located 55 Holly Hill Lane. This is Spotlight of Medicine on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. We'll take one more break, come back with more after this.
You make lots of important decisions for your family. But when it comes to healthcare, there's nothing more important than the doctors that you choose. So how do you make the right decision? Here's a tip. Check out the doctor's credentials and make sure they're from respected medical schools. And here's another tip. Look for a doctor who's affiliated with a truly fine hospital, like Greenwich Hospital. Greenwich Hospital is consistently rated in the top 1% nationwide for patient satisfaction. It has a broad array of specialties, from excellent women's services and breast care to pediatrics, orthopedics, extensive cancer care, and much more. Greenwich Hospital physicians meet the highest standards for healthcare excellence. For a referral to a Greenwich Hospital physician, call 203-863-3627. That's 203-863-3627. Greenwich Hospital, for the quality care you and your family deserve.
Coming up on 923 on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. This is Spotlight on Medicine. After we're done here, we turn things over to Matt Ray, America's First News, Sportsline America at 10 o'clock, and the Debbie Nigro Show at 11. We are speaking today with Repro Endocrinology, Infertility, Gynecology, Obstetrics at Yale Medicine, Greenwich Fertility, Dr. Deepika Garg. I wanted to get that in there. You've got a long business card, I'm sure, you know. Lots of stuff on it. All right. We're talking IVF, in vitro fertilization. Are there any side effects associated with IVF?
Well, IVF involves taking fertility injections, and the side effects, first of all, they stay for the period of duration patient is taking those injections. So sometimes they can feel, you know, headache, hot flashes, mood changes, or at the site of injection, they feel pain and bruising because they have to do these injections every day. There are some side effects with egg retrieval because it's a procedure done under general anesthesia. There's a risk of like abdominal cramping, bleeding, or spotting, which is very rare. Some patients who have high egg reserve can develop ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, where their ovaries becomes bigger and they feel bloated. Very, very rarely, these ovaries can basically, the fallopian tubes can twist and cut off the blood supply of ovaries, called ovarian torsion. That's a very, very rare complication. And one other rare one is ectopic pregnancy, where embryo, rather than developing inside the uterus, develops inside the fallopian tube.
Mm-hmm. Any long-term impacts or deleterious effects possibly?
Well, not really. I mean, it's like we now, our first IVF baby, Louis Brown, she's over, I think, 45 year old.
I was going to mention, she was called a test tube baby.
Exactly.
So that's the same thing. We're
exactly.
Talking about.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And she's pretty healthy and living a good life. And so far we know that nothing happens to these kids.
Okay. And the mother? Okay. Not in this case, I'm saying necessarily, but I guess I meant more long term for the mother. But the child, of course, also, but the mother as well.
Yeah, not really. And, you know, I recently had a patient and who was asking if she's going to do IVF, is she going to use all of her eggs? But that's like, that's not the case. Basically, we recruit the eggs that was otherwise going to die in the ovary. And it does not affect the egg reserve of women and doesn't have any long-term side effects. And they won't have earlier menopause because they had gone through IVF.
Okay, yeah, that was one of the things I was thinking about. Okay, so now, if a patient becomes pregnant, what role do you and your team play throughout the pregnancy? Give us kind of the start to finish almost about how things go.
Sure. So if someone gets pregnant, they are on fertility medications, hormones. So we monitor those hormones with weekly blood tests, and we do ultrasound. We do a couple of ultrasound to make sure it's a intrauterine pregnancy, how the embryo is developing inside the uterus. And once we see heartbeat and patient is around 8 to 10 weeks, then they get discharged to their OB for further prenatal care.
Okay. What other options are available if it doesn't work?
Well, I mean, if IVF doesn't work, like there are some, we can tweak IVF and sort of based on why it didn't work. So we have options of doing other advanced techniques such as assisted hatching. We can do ICSI where if there's male factor and problem with the sperm, intracytoplasmic sperm insemination, or we can, as I said, genetic testing of embryos, pre-implantation genetic testing we can do, or there are other options such as donor eggs, donor sperm, or gestational surrogate, or patients can adopt a baby.
Does your and your team's role end when the mother becomes pregnant?
Around 10 weeks of pregnancy, we discharge those patients to their regular OBGYN who take over their care and basically deliver them wherever they want to be get delivered.
Okay, so now we had a question that I was going to ask you that wanted me to ask you about how many of these are you're done in the hospital setting, but many IVFs are done outside a hospital setting, and the difference maybe with more obese patients. Tell us about that.
Sure, yeah. So we get a lot of referrals for patients who are over certain BMI because IVF process involves egg harvesting or egg retrieval under anesthesia. And if someone is doing in outpatient setting, they have a BMI cutoff for patients who can undergo this procedure. Since we do our IVF procedures at Greenwich Hospital, our IVF lab is located at Greenwich Hospital, we have the liberty to take any patient based on, you know, how high is the BMI. And we have anesthesiologists available in the hospital, and if patient needs to stay in PACU or something, so we have all sort of facilities available. So I would say sometimes we say we are kind of referral center for those patients who cannot have, you know, procedure done in outpatient setting, either for BMI or some medical reasons, or, you know, if they need like hospital settings.
I see. Do you recommend that the woman lose weight though before they have this procedure? I mean, is gestational diabetes related to the BMI?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if I see a patient who is over certain BMI, I basically counsel them about reducing weight. It's good for them. It's good for their pregnancy because obesity is associated with decreased success rate of IVF. And in addition, as you said, gestational diabetes, hypertension during pregnancy, and it can affect the development of baby also. Baby can be smaller than the gestational age and can have preterm deliveries, and there are a lot of complications associated with obesity.
All right. So if anybody listening wants to find out more about this, what can they do?
Well, if they are struggling with infertility, they can give us a call, and you know we take most of the insurances, and as I said, we have people who are working in billing department verify patients' insurances, and they can come have an initial consultation with us, and then we can go from there.
And those low interest high finance packages also. No, just kidding. And what's the best way to reach you? Phone number wise, website, or how? What's best?
Well,
way?
Either way, we have a form on our website where they can fill the form and basically provide their information. They can provide their insurance information, and then we can even, you know, see if they what is covered based on their insurance, or if they can give us a call. Our phone number is 203-863-2990, and as you said, we are located at 55 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 270, Greenwich, Connecticut. We have one other office in New York, in Tuckahoe, for patients who live in Westchester or in the city, and once they call this number, they can choose either offices to make an appointment.
Do you work at both offices?
Yeah, I do.
You do. All right. Fantastic. Great job. Thanks for it.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dr. Deepika Garg, talking in vitro fertilization, therapy here on Spotlight on Medicine on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Stay tuned. America's First News with Matt Ray, followed by Sportsline America at 10, Debbie Nigro at 11 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.